Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. We will be frequently posting sermons from our Sunday services to offer insights and interpretations of Scripture and to help you connect biblical teachings to your daily life and circumstances. You may also watch our entire worship service online on Facebook or YouTube. This podcast was recorded on Sunday, June 15, 2025. Our guest preacher is Ron Schofield, a member of Resurrection Lutheran.
The Gospel of John is from the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15, an introduction. Jesus' ongoing presence with the disciples will be made known through the coming Spirit who will guide them and communicate to them Jesus' will and glory. A reading from John. Jesus said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I say that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Word of God, word of life. I'm not a pastor, but I've taught quite a bit, so this will be a little bit different. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Wow. Think about this. The Spirit has been speaking to us? How long? 2,000 years? We might have other questions. For example, if Jesus' words are in red letters in some Bibles, and if God's words are in black letters in other parts of the Bible, then what color are the words that the Spirit spoke, and where are they? Also, who else is unsettled by Jesus saying he had more to say, but it was unbearable? Finally, if the Spirit of truth will guide us into the truth, are we there yet? Could I hear anything? I heard a no. Sue, thank you, Sue. Thank you. Sue says we are not there yet. I've taught catechism here for quite a while. We spend a lot of time on the Holy Spirit. One reason is that I don't remember my teachers mentioning it. I don't know, Julie, if your teachers did or not. Mine didn't really talk about it. I remember hearing about the Father and the Son, a lot about the Son. There's a lot of lessons about Jesus. But I don't think they really knew what to tell us about the Spirit. We talk about the Apostles' Creed a lot in the Catechism. It says good stuff about the Father. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. It says a lot about Jesus, the Son. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and so on for many lines. Then we get to the third person. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That's it. The rest of the statements of the creed are other stuff. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Not very helpful. We need to get a better sense of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' words in John chapters 14 through 17 offer a lot. We also have Paul's letters, especially the 8th chapter of Romans and the 3rd chapter of Galatians. Luke writes about the Spirit in chapters 2, 4, and 9 of Acts. C.S. Lewis wrote about the Spirit. Many other authors wrote about the Spirit. We even have contemporary voices, people like Professor, Bishop, British Lord, and author N.T. Wright, one of my favorites. and professor and co-creator of the online Bible Project, Tim Mackey. We use all these in our catechism classes, the Bible Project being a favorite. Welcome to class. So we're going to see what the catechism class gets to see a little bit.
Just like wind and breath are invisible, God's Spirit is invisible. Wind is powerful, and so God's Spirit is powerful. And just as breath keeps us alive, so God's Spirit sustains all of life. When Jesus appeared to his closest followers, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
And soon after that, the Spirit powerfully comes on all of his disciples.
So that they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live by the energy and influence of God's Spirit.
That is a favorite of our catechism class. Not that particular one, but all of those videos, they're great. Tim Mackey, who is one of the two that kind of leads that organization, suggests that the discourse in John chapters 14 through 17 that we read a little piece from today describes the Holy Spirit as comforter, teacher, one who corrects or convicts, and a spirit of truth. Let's dig into these. First, we seek comfort, especially after loss, because grief is real. We may grieve the loss of a promotion, or a D in school, or a dropped pass in football, but these pale in comparison to the grief of the loss of a loved one. The reason is obvious. The love we have for the lost one doesn't die. Rather, it continues to call to the loved one, but without answer. How does one cope with this? The answer is unique to each person, but the Bible tells us the source of all love is God. According to Galatians 5:22, the movement of this love is through the Spirit, as are peace and patience and gentleness that we seek in grief. We may not recognize the movement of the Spirit in our time of grief, but we feel it, and in time we are comforted. The Greek word parakletos, literally one who is called alongside, is also translated as comforter. The New Testament uses the word paraclete for the Spirit. Let's recognize when the paraclete comes to us in our grief. Next, children learn. As children of God, we learn and we need a teacher. The problem is that we have plenty of evidence that none of us are reliable truth tellers. This is a bigger problem than it sounds, as bad as it is. Here we remember today's gospel text from Jesus. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. But what if the Spirit is biased? Or if the lessons aren't what I need or what I want? Jesus immediately follows with, "For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come." What does the Spirit hear? The word of the Father. And the word is the Son, according to Scripture. Later in 14:26, Jesus says, "But the advocate," or the comforter, the one who comes alongside, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. So what the Spirit teaches is what Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh, spoke. There is no gap in the Trinity among any of those persons. Indeed, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. That is the first line of the Shema prayer. And it applies to us as Christians also. And the Spirit, now loose in the world, works on us, in us, between us, and through us, repeating God's word to each of us in unique ways. This leads us to the next attribute of the Spirit, the one who convicts and corrects. We might skip this one. The Spirit speaks truth to us, revealing how we are to live in loving relationships with each other and with God. And the Spirit tells us when we are not. Deep down, we struggle. When we struggle in our relationships, we suffer when they break, and we feel that struggle. We feel anxiety and regret when we know we hurt someone we love, especially when we see them suffer. This isn't the Spirit scolding us. Rather, the Spirit reveals the truth of our actions to us. When love is interrupted, we feel the gap and the anger and the frustration, and the emptiness is hard. Some might say it's better not to enter into close, loving relationships with others. And many people choose this path. After all, one can avoid the pain and the embarrassment and the anxiety and guilt when a mistake is made. But the consequences of this is life in isolation, a wider, more permanent gap with others that we were not made for. The Spirit urges each person back to the fullness of fellowship and love that closes gaps. It takes time and we make mistakes. Jesus taught repentance and forgiveness so that relationships may heal and again flow with grace. We know this at RLC. We have lived as a family for decades, celebrating triumphs and suffering breaks and loss, and here we are. And it is good that we are here. With learning and knowledge comes power, so the Spirit gives us power according to Acts 1:8. This power is certainly not intended to be withheld from our words and deeds, but it is to be used in the expression of them, both to reinforce and to reorient or correct. Reinforcing is straightforward. We might always choose to reinforce, even destructive behaviors. We might reinforce destructive behaviors. And people who are encouraging, trying to get them to see through our reinforcement a different way. And we think this may be the loving Christian way, but the Spirit urges us to live according to God's will and word and end suffering and injustice rather than capitulate to or reinforce the sinner. We see this with the disciples in Acts who spoke truth to those who did not want to hear it. We read about conflicts in the early Jesus community and between Jesus' community and others, especially unjust leaders. Since the Spirit has power and gives power to us, regardless of wealth or status, we are assured that the Spirit will not call us to defend unjust actions or corruption for any purpose. All the wealth and power in the world is useless in the kingdom of God, which is our home. I understand speaking truth may make people feel uncomfortable. My response is, me too. Finally, the Spirit is the truth teller, which has already been touched on. The text gives, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And a challenge comes immediately. What is truth? Our postmodern society holds as a core tenet that truth is relative. In other words, truth differs with each person's experience and context. I could claim that truth is what I personally say it is, but I don't see or know everything or live in anyone else's shoes. So if I claim a truth, I might be wrong. Yet I am utterly convinced that I am right. And others, with their own versions of truth that differ from mine, are utterly convinced that they are right. Maybe we try to agree. See the problem? Kind of reminds me of the character Vizzini in The Princess Bride, who cannot believe his brilliantly conceived plans are one by one defeated by Wesley. Inconceivable! Still others say that truth is as diverse as the people who hold it. There is no truth, only truthful perspectives held by Each person, hang on, only truthful perspectives held by each and every person. One person's truth may be another's lie, but they are both honored by many as true. Villains may be heroes, and heroes condemned. Don't we need a source of truth that we can rely on, an objective truth from the outside? I mean, way outside. And let's add wisdom. No human can deliver such truth. Even worse than simple bias, in chapter 15, Jesus describes how the world rejected him and will reject the disciples he loves and is speaking to. It doesn't know God, the one who made it and loves it. It is burdened by sin and death, and it seeks relief from this on its own terms, through wealth and greed and power, none of which gives life. Since we live in the world, we are pulled along through it, struggling to find answers and ultimately truth. This is frustratingly difficult since we don't even agree. This is not also how we were made to live. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, in his book, Science, Religion, and the Search for Meaning, says, I'll quote, "The meaning of a system lies outside the system. Therefore, the meaning of the universe lies outside the universe." Unquote. The transcendent creator God gives meaning to creation from outside of creation. The meaning we seek is the truth Jesus spoke and the Spirit reveals. We are told that the most powerful transformative force in the world is love, but the world does not love us. This revelation about love coming from God into the world is the core truth Jesus spoke and the Spirit reveals. I think I say the following nearly every class. We are loved by God and we are commanded to love. I also tell the class that love is not an abstract concept. It is the essence of God's presence and God's action as the kingdom unfolds in the world. Our love must also be real and active, working as God's partners to spread the good news and to heal creation with love. Amen.
Thank you for tuning into the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.